ready to dig into it. Father, we lift up Pastor John to you right now. And Lord, we know that he's prepared this message, Lord, with that love, with that something that he wants to set before us that we will take, that we will savor, that we will enjoy and be thankful for. And Lord, we thank you for your word today. And we pray, Lord, that this word would bear much fruit. Lord, that you would make it growth, that you would make it real in our lives. So, Father, we ask the Spirit of God would move upon him and through him today as he ministers. And not just upon him, but all of us as we receive it. In Jesus' name, and we all said,
amen. Amen. Well, as Pastor Don mentioned, everything we've been talking about over the last few months has been getting to know God. We've seen how important it is to take the time to seek him and to find out everything about him that we can. And we've also looked at some of the benefits or some of the blessings that come from learning about God and getting to know him personally. Last week we talked about knowing God and how by knowing him it helps us to live wisely. We saw that King David's son Solomon, he was anointed king of Israel, and how God appeared to him in a dream. And God asked him, he said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Those are God's words. Ask me for whatever you want me to give you. You know, and most people would say, well, give me a big bank account. Give me, you know, a brand new car. Give me a huge house, or, you know, lots of money, this and that. But Solomon, who was just a young boy, knew that he was in over his head being the king of Israel. And so he humbled himself before God, and he said, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? Basically, he said, Lord, give me wisdom. So God answered Solomon in 1 Kings 4:29 through 34, where it tells us that God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Verse 30 says, Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the east, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. And at that time, Egypt was considered the hub of knowledge. God also said, I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Man, this young boy, and as he grew into a man, he was wise. He was one of the original wise guys. But he was the wisest of all of them. But we need to know that when he died, and I mentioned this last week, that wisdom didn't just die with him. He tried to leave some of it behind. You know, he wrote books and all kinds of sayings and psalms and proverbs. He left a lot of wisdom out there for us to read, and it's very important. But we also need to know that that wisdom that he had, it didn't die with him because it wasn't his wisdom. He just got a hold of some of God's wisdom, the heavenly wisdom. We saw that this wisdom can also be for us as we get close to God. God wants us to walk in wisdom. He wants his people to live wisely because it brings glory to God. And it helps us to accomplish his will. In Proverbs 1:20, it says that wisdom cries out in the street. Wisdom is out there for what that's what that's saying is that the wisdom is out there for those who will open up their ears and their heart and their mind to listen and hear and look for it. It's crying out. We looked at three things that are necessary for us to do if we want to get hold of this wisdom for our life. The first thing was to fear the Lord. Psalm 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it all starts. What we saw that this fear really means is it doesn't mean to be afraid of God. It means to have a healthy respect for God, to revere Him, to honor Him, to be in awe of Him. We realize that since God is perfect in all of His ways, since He has all knowledge and all wisdom and all power, and on top of that, He loves us, that to reject His wisdom would be to put ourselves in peril. It would be foolish. So when we recognize who He is, and in a sense it says to fear Him, to realize that if we don't follow Him, knowing how great and wonderful and awesome He is, we're going to end up being in trouble. The second thing that we saw that we need to do is to humble ourselves. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. I talked about pride being like spiritual earwax. Sounds great, doesn't it? You know, it blocks up our hearing. It stuffs up our mind. It stuffs up our heart so that we don't hear from God. That's what pride does. And it says, with pride comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. The third thing that we need to do, which we will never do if we don't first do number two, humble ourselves. The third thing that we need to do is go to God and ask Him for wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. God wants us. He wants His children, just like we do. We want our children to walk in wisdom. He wants to share His wisdom with us. But we need to honor and respect Him. We need to humble ourselves before Him. We need to go to Him and ask Him so He can give it to us. And of course, the Holy Spirit, as always, has a major role to play. We saw an example of this in Luke chapter 12, verse 11. It says, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. What God's telling us there is that if we trust in Him, if we are wise enough to understand that God is going to be with us, that God is going to bring us through situations, that God's wisdom will then come to us when we trust in Him, and He'll tell us what to do. He'll tell us what to say. He'll tell us whether to turn to the right or the left. These are the things that the Holy Spirit does. He reminds us of the words of Christ. He tells us which way to go. He counsels us. He guides us. He gives us wisdom in every area of our life. He's the connection between God and us, the Holy Spirit who lives in us. In fact, Ephesians 1:17, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Wisdom. God's Word, which is full of wisdom, is there to read for anybody. Anybody in the world can read God's Word. And they can see, you know, the beauty of that Word. They can maybe get something good out of there. But for God's people, it's totally different. Because when God's people open up the Word of God, this is the way it should be. The Holy Spirit should be guiding us. And we can ask Him, Holy Spirit, help me. Give me understanding. Give me revelation. The Holy Spirit will open up that Word to us. Remember, He's the one who carried men along as they wrote it. They were carried along by the Spirit as they wrote the Bible. God caused people to write His Word down, and it was the Holy Spirit who guided them. So who better to explain it than the Holy Spirit? Oh, this is what I meant. This is what, you know, I was trying to get across as He wrote this. I want you to understand it. And in fact, this is how it applies to you. The Holy Spirit can do that. He can take God's Word and apply it to you. No book can do that. You ever read a book that in the middle of the book it says, now John, I want you to pick this up and do this. It just doesn't do that. That book is written for anyone who reads it. It can't speak to every individual person, but But God's Word can. That's the Holy Spirit. When we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us into knowing God, into getting His wisdom, what happens then is God will give us free access to the wisdom, to His wisdom. And it's a privilege that is only there for Christians. It's like we get a free pass. Come on in. And you have access to all my wisdom. God's Word has this to say about wisdom. Proverbs 8:11, wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. So God thinks a lot about wisdom. In the book of James, chapter 3, we learn there are two kinds of wisdom, and this is where we're getting into today. James 3:15, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. You ever think about that? That's what God is calling earthly or human wisdom. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. One type of wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. And that type of wisdom causes all kinds of problems. It causes division, it causes destruction, and it causes death. The other wisdom is from God, the heavenly wisdom. And that wisdom always brings unity. It brings God's favor, God's blessing and life, and all kinds of wonderful things that are in store for those who walk in that wisdom. First, let's look at the wisdom of this world. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? When Paul wrote those words, there were all kinds of famous Greek wise men. They were called sophists, and they were considered the wise men of their age. People paid, or they traveled long distances to go and listen to them speak. They were professional speakers, just like we have speakers now out on the circuit. You know, they have the positive message, or they talk about financial things, or they do this, and they have these big, you know, meetings at Cobo Hall or someplace. You pay sometimes a lot of money, sometimes hundreds of dollars to go see them speak. So these were well-trained professional speakers. It was said that their silver tongue could almost hypnotize people. Their logic was often faulty, but because they were so highly trained and polished, and they tickled the ears of everyone who heard them, everybody thought they were wise, that they were smart, that everything they said was true because, wow, we came to listen to them. Wow, listen to how great they speak, how many people follow after them. They must be right. It must be true. I saw it on the internet. But these supposed wise men purposely turned people away from Christianity. They ridiculed Christianity because it was too simple for their sophisticated minds. So to God, these men weren't wise. They were fools. Foolish. And that's nothing new to us. We see that in our times. Think about all the so-called experts of our day. I think of one of the latest ones I just read the other day, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. They just dumped millions of gallons of supposedly toxic water and pretty much destroyed this river, at least temporarily. They say maybe for years in Colorado. They're there to protect the environment. Thank goodness we got the EPA. How about things like don't discipline your kids because it teaches them violence? Just reason with them. Did you ever try to reason with a 2 or 3 year old? Or a 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 year old? Proverbs 13:24 says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." How about teaching safe sex in grade school? Even as low as second grade. That's how low it's down right now. How about teaching the same grade schoolers that homosexual marriage is perfectly healthy and normal? They get their little booklet, "Billy has two mommies." Or how about the little 5-year-old that his parents are taking him in for a sex change operation? The experts say it's good. The experts told us in the 60s that we would run out of natural resources before the year 2000. And then, of course, in 2000, we had Y2K. All of society was going to fall apart because our computers had to turn over. That's what the experts told us. Babies are nothing more than blobs of tissue, according to the professionals. And abortion is just fine. We'll sell the body parts and make money off of it. That's what Planned Parenthood does. How about the 12-year-old girl who can't get aspirin or a tattoo or her ears pierced without her parents' permission, but she can get an abortion through her school, and the school will help her hide that fact from her parents? Goes on all the time in this country because the experts have decided that's the right thing to do. So they get funding from other experts. How about the whole universe was formed from a little tiny dot that was some type of black hole or something, and it sort of exploded, and the whole universe came out of that, and then somehow out of that nothing, we evolved because of maybe some lightning in a warm puddle somewhere. And we evolved. It's too hard to believe that God created us. But we can believe that. See, these are the experts talking. The people that are the wise people. The same one that Paul was talking about, that God was talking about when he said, "The wisdom of this earth is foolish." On and on, the professional wise men of our day spouting their genius words of wisdom. It's all around us. It gets more and more foolish every day. I read just the other day, scientists now think we're living in a matrix. That this is not reality here that we're in. We're actually in a computer simulation. This is the truth. We're in a different dimension. We're in this computer, so just like the Matrix, the movie. Now they're coming to believe that this is where we are. They're trying to explain the spiritual and the natural realms and stuff like that. They can't do it. They can't believe that. So they have to try to come up with some other idea. We came from aliens. Whatever, you name it. 1 Corinthians 3:19, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight." Can you see it? Can you see it? I just gave you a few examples just so you would know that God's word is right. And I love this part. "As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness." The first thing I thought about was Al Gore. Every time he has a global warming conference, it freezes. And nobody can get there because the snow is too deep. I love it. It's like God's toying with him, you know? Like Al Gore is one of those little puppets he plays with, you know? I think I will agree with God instead of our experts. And yet these same experts, now here's where we got to watch it. These same experts, they will stand in judgment on Christianity. They will tell us to go in the backwoods with our guns and our Bibles and just stay out of the business of taking care of society. Go in the little four walls of your church and leave the rest of us alone because you don't know what you're doing. Because you're backwards idiots. That's the way society is being told, what they're being told by the experts. They mock, they ridicule, they laugh at Christianity, not because Christianity is foolish, but because they are. We have to guard against being laughed out of Christianity, laughed out of our faith, laughed out of our position, because if we are, we're laughed out of wisdom and into foolishness. Think about that. When we give up our stand that we know is true and back down for the world, we've just entered the land of the fools and of foolishness. Why would we leave wisdom to enter into foolishness? James 3:15 says that such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. We saw that. It's unspiritual because it's carnal, it's sensual, it cares only for the needs and the appetites of the flesh. It's sort of like animal instincts, using whatever cunning or strength it can to get whatever it wants. It's earthly because it's concerned about and measures success by worldly standards, having worldly goals and values. And it's of the devil, which is, because we can see that Satan's influence is found everywhere. Everywhere we look at human wisdom, if you keep digging, you'll find that Satan's influence is there. His deceptions, his lies, have infiltrated just about every profession, and unfortunately, even the church. You know how many churches are out there supporting abortion on demand, homosexual marriage, and teaching all kinds of ungodly things? They're all over the place. Every school of thought has some type of philosophy behind it, some kind of backing. And when we dig down into that, we're going to find that if it's not God's word, if it's not God's principles, it's probably going to end up being the devil's. It was Jesus who said, if they're not with us, they're against us. James goes on to say in verse 16, where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find discomfort and every evil practice. What he's saying is that where the wisdom of this world will lead, it'll lead to death. The person who operates only with human wisdom will eventually drive people apart instead of bringing them together. Disorder, selfish ambition, envy, evil practices, that's from human wisdom. People that are motivated by that human wisdom, especially selfish ambition, will always, always cause problems. You find them on a committee or in a group or in a church group or wherever they are, and they're always trying to build their own little power structure. They're always trying to push their way, their ideas, and the people that get in their way of their advancement, they step right on them. Because they know better. They know better. Because they have worldly wisdom. They may be clever or bright, articulate. Oftentimes they are. Even full of worldly love sometimes. The mushy love. That loves no matter right or wrong or good or evil or not. It's just, you know, love no matter what. Not understanding true love. But the wisdom that comes from above is totally different. Totally different. This wisdom that comes from up, from God, from heaven, is a gift from God. It's a gift from God, and it's something that's good and perfect in all of its characteristics. And this gift is being made available to us. This wisdom is for us. God wants to share His wisdom with us. He's opening up. It's like He's opening the library of His mind and saying, come on in and learn. A person who's filled and operates with the wisdom of God has a totally different philosophy or approach to life. Godly wisdom will always bring unity. It's always trying for unity. That's what Jesus wants. God, that Father, that they might be one. That's what God wants. He wants to bring His people together. The whole plan of God is to bring all things together under one head, Jesus Christ. That's His desire. And heavenly wisdom in operation will bring unity. The devil's goal is always to divide and conquer and destroy. So worldly wisdom does that. Godly wisdom brings together, builds. This heavenly wisdom will exhibit the characteristics that are found in James 3:17. So if you want to know if you are operating in heavenly wisdom, it's sort of a checklist that you can look at. And we'll go over a few of these things here. In James 3:17, it says, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. First of all pure. It purposely says first of all. And there's a reason. This wisdom is uncontaminated. It's uncontaminated with our thoughts, with our opinions, with our human carnal thinking. This wisdom is unsoiled and holy because it's God's wisdom. This characteristic is purposely placed first because we're talking about the thoughts, our mind, our heart, all these things. And God wants what's in there to be pure. He doesn't want us to get all jumbled up. He doesn't want us to be an unstable man and unstable in all we do, bouncing back and forth like a ship on the waves being tossed all over the place. He wants us to be solid on solid ground, so we need the pure, unadulterated Word of God to know that, to know what is good and true and right. We have to put aside our selfish ambitions, our fleshly desires, our opinions, our biases, our feelings. Well, I feel that God would have me to... Well, who cares what you feel? I really think, well, I don't care what we think. Well, I know what God's Word says. Oh, okay, now you got my attention. As soon as we can quote God's Word, we don't have to quote it. We know it. We learn it. It becomes part of us. The Holy Spirit will even guide us to follow after God's Word. He leads us into all truth if we allow Him. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, or daughters of God. And He will lead us in wisdom, the Spirit of wisdom. That's what He'll do. What we got to watch out is this thing up here. I mentioned last week the biggest problem we have is jumping into every situation and the first thought in their mind is, I can handle this. Don't we do that? I do it. We all do it. We don't take the time to stop and think, what does God's Word say? We have to reflect for a little bit and say, wait a minute now, where am I going? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Because that's the only path that's true, that's real, that's going to lead to life and blessing. Because if I start going my own way and reject God's way, I'm going to be in a heap of trouble. True wisdom operates with pure motives. And God really does want His thoughts and His ways, His thinking to be there for us. He wants us to have free access to it so that we can operate as He would. We're the body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body. I wouldn't want my head thinking one thing and my body doing something else, would you? Can you imagine if you thought, I'm going to pick up this glass? I don't even want to do it. All right, I'm going to read this. Wait a minute, I wanted to read that. You know, and every time I try to read it, it goes like that. Because my body starts to do what it wants to do. Because my body's thinking, well, I think this would be better. You know, I take a drink and it goes like this. Or maybe like this. I think my hand's thinking, I'd like that. I think it'd be funny. No, we want our body to agree with the head. And if Jesus is the head, He wants His body to agree with Him. And the way we agree with Him is to obey His Word. If you love Me, you will obey My Word. It's as simple as that. That's the call. That's the duty of a Christian, to fear God and obey Him. That came from Solomon. That's the whole duty of man. True wisdom is peace-loving. Wisdom is against conflict for conflict's sake and dissension that is fighting for its own selfish motives. Wisdom is against envy and jealousy and strife and factions and cliques and all those things that bring division and tear apart the people of God. God wants us to find ways to build bridges, to bring people together. That's why I love it when Ray has campfires over at his house. He invites all these people. Or we have the picnic that we're having Wednesday. It's a great way to bring people together. See, that's what God wants. He wants His people to come together. Right now. God wants us to build those bridges based on His truth. We don't come together and compromise and let go of God's truth. We come together based on God's truth. That's the beauty of a good church, is that you have like-minded people who love God and want to grow together in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God wants us to restore peace whenever possible without compromising His truth. Mark 9:50 tells us to be at peace with one another. That's what God wants for us. True wisdom is considerate. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. That's being considerate. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's being considerate. Thinking about the other person. Everything is not from my perspective. God wants us to look at things from His perspective. He wants us to see that person through His eyes, through His heart. That person that maybe would repulse us, or scare us, or worry us, or whatever, if we can look at them through God's eyes, it does something totally different. God wants us to consider what others are going through and see, is there some way we can help them? Can we pray for them? Can we assist them? We shouldn't be too quick to judge someone who is not up to our standards. We need to balance justice and mercy. That's a consideration. God does it. He's merciful, but he's just. So there has to be a balance there. We need to be not too quick to throw the book at someone, but to see, like, what's really going on? Instead of just jumping all over them right away. True wisdom is submissive, pliable, reasonable, able to take advice or correction. True wisdom knows when to yield and when to hold. It starts with humbling ourselves before God, and then we need to humble ourselves before others. Be willing to serve. Be a servant. Even the lowly. We're not too good for anyone. I think about Jesus. He was perfect. And it says that he humbled himself and became a servant. He submitted himself to us, to this earth, for us. He was submissive, and yet he was God. It was godly wisdom, what he did. He submitted his life for us. All we ever hear about today in our world is demanding our rights. Everybody's got rights. Especially those TV commercials. I got 500,000. I got 800,000. Get what's coming to you. Get your rights. That's earthly wisdom. Get it while you can. But the thing is, for us, we've been bought and paid for. We belong to God. We need to submit our will to him and to one another. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. True wisdom is full of mercy and good fruit. Mercy means that we don't condemn, we don't criticize, we don't punish when we could. That we would have the right to deal with those things. But if we're merciful, we say, you know what, I'm going to hold off. Our kids love it when we show them mercy. And you know what? We loved it when God showed us mercy, didn't we? And you know what? He's merciful to us every day. Thank God that his mercies are new every morning. He's a merciful Savior. If he was only about justice, we'd be dead. We'd be dead. But he's merciful. So we have to have that ability to show mercy to others. That doesn't mean that no one is ever disciplined or punished for wrongdoing, because it also tells us that God disciplines those he loves. This is where wisdom has to come in. This is where we have to be led by the Spirit of God. We don't just make the decision. We let God help us make the decision. He'll show us. Just like it said that he showed him at the court what to say at the time they needed to say it. If we trust in God, he can show us all the time. He can lead us all the time. Good fruit, it talks about there. Yeah, that's a result of walking in wisdom. That's God's blessings, the good fruit that comes out, God's provision. God uses us to be a blessing to others. We're a blessing to him. We get blessed ourselves. We become an example of godliness as other people examine our lives when the good fruit is there. If we're walking in wisdom, and that the fruit will come, and as people look at our lives, they'll say, you know, they must be doing something right. I like what I see. I would trust them to do this or to do that. I would like to have them help me do this because they see something in us. There's some people you don't even want around you. There's plenty of people in this world you start thinking like, man, I wouldn't leave them alone with my kids for 30 seconds. And then there's others. You can see in them that they're a good person. True wisdom is impartial, not showing favoritism, not treating someone better because of what we can get from them, because they're rich, or they have access to something or someone, or how they look, or what they own. Not excluding others because they're not like us. They're not the same age. They're not the same sex. They're not the same color. They're not the same whatever. With God, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free. He loves us all. True wisdom is sincere, without hypocrisy, real, not pretending to be what we aren't. Mark 7:6, Isaiah was right, just as Jesus was talking, and he said, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Jesus, boy, he had some tough words for hypocrites. Woe unto you. Isn't it the seven woes? I think there might be seven of them, yeah. Woe unto you, you hypocrites. You do this. Woe unto you, you hypocrites. I don't want God saying, woe unto you, John Russell. I mean, we all blow it. Don't we? Or am I the only one that's messed up? We all blow it. It's when, you know, when we refuse to humble ourselves before God, we refuse to ask for forgiveness, we refuse to be real with God. See, God wants us to be sincere. That's why I love David. Because David blew it all the time, it seems like. Every time you're reading about his life, he blew it. And yet God says he was a man after his heart, the apple of his eye. Why? Because he sincerely loved God, but he blew it. And that's what God is expecting from us. Not perfection, sincerity. Really trying to be good, trying to be obedient, trying to be sincere. God is looking, it says, for true worshipers who worship him in spirit and truth. The last thing he wants is people who are just pretending and only worshiping. So, you know, everyone else can see him. When we are walking in godly wisdom, these are some of the characteristics that we can look at. As I said earlier, it's like a sort of a checklist. And we should find these things in ourselves. All these things I just talked about, everyone's going to have it to varying degrees, you know, and usually you got some strong points and maybe a weak point, and, or two, or three, or four, or five. And these are the areas we work on then. We look at these and we say, well, am I this way? I should be. That's part of wisdom, looking into God's Word and learning how to be wise. How to live wisely. That's what I'm talking about. Learning how to live wisely. It's God's wisdom, but he will teach us how to walk in that wisdom. So when we're walking in that godly wisdom, we're going to see, hopefully, these things. And then what we should see is that these things should be an example of our character. If somebody were to come up and ask your husband or your wife or your friend and say, well, tell me about Bob. Tell me about his character. No, I don't want to know that he wears an orange shirt. I don't want to know that he was a Marine. Oh, that might tell me something, actually. I don't want to know that he, you know, he lives on, you know, a certain street in a certain city. And tell me about his character. And when you start telling about somebody's character, we should start seeing those characteristics. Walking in heaven brings all kinds of blessings into our life beyond what we already talked about, beyond those character traits, and beyond some of the good fruits that we talked about and things like that. I'm just going to go real quick through just a couple things here because I'm winding it up. Proverbs 4:6 says that wisdom will protect you and watch over you. Proverbs 2:12 says that wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. Proverbs 4:8 says, esteem her, or wisdom, and wisdom will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. Proverbs 4:12, when you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. 4:10, listen, my son, accept what I say, my wisdom, and the years of your life will be many. So wisdom adds years to our life. 28:26 says, he who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. Remember the scripture I read earlier? Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare to her. God's really sold on wisdom. He really is, because wisdom is his way of thinking. It's just like we do the same thing with our children. We raise them up. We try to teach them how to live a good life, how to have a good marriage, how to work hard at their job, how to eat right, how to raise their children right. What we're teaching them is what we know, right? Now, our mind is imperfect. We don't know everything perfect, but God does. And so he's trying to teach us his mind because we're his children. So he's trying to convey his wisdom to us so we can live the best possible lives as Christians. So that we can be blessed in every aspect of our life, so that we can bring forth and show forth the glory of God and bring praises to his name, so that we can accomplish his purposes all throughout our life. Wisdom has many, many, many great things going for it. I hope you get hungry for wisdom. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare to her. That's a pretty strong statement. And that's God's. That's not mine. It's a blessing from God. It's a gift from God. It's access into his mind. The last scripture, Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. It's blunt. It's straightforward. It's direct. It's God telling his people, get wisdom. It's like Nike. You know their slogan is, do it? That's God. Get wisdom. Do it. That's what he's saying to us. So if I could have the prayer team come forward, we're going to close. So just join with me in prayer. Father, we do thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be deceived by the wisdom of this world. We don't have to fall for earthly wisdom that is unspiritual, that is earthly, that is of the devil. Lord, that you have made it possible for us to tap into your wisdom, Lord God, that we can have access into your thinking and know the way you want us to live our life so that we can live wisely. Lord, I pray that each one of us would learn to live, to walk wisely, and that we would walk then in all the blessings that you have poured out and made available to us, Lord God. Father, I pray that each one of us, as we hear this word today, would make a commitment in our heart that I want to be wiser. I want to walk with godly wisdom. I really do, Father. Lord, help me. Help me to be wise. Lord, I am asking you. I'm humbling myself. Because I know I don't have it all together. God, give me your wisdom. Help me to be wise so that I can walk in wisdom and bring honor and glory to you, to my family, to my church, to my friends, to my country. And I can be blessed myself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. And I will feel no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall until that day comes.